Thanks for tuning in to Out There Today. So I'm actually live in the studio today with Dwayne.
Mike 2. Hello, Mike 2. Am I on the air? Am I really on the
air? On the air.
Give us money.
Dwayne is...
That's why I'm here.
Chomping at the bit, barking at the gate. I invited him in because it's Fun Drive week.
Put the fun in fun.
I don't like normal driving, but... Fun driving. This is fun driving. So thanks for tuning in to Out There Today. It is Wednesday, May 8th, 2019.
Give us money.
That's a subtle hint. Dwayne used to be the host of Was Your Show, Dwayne?
My generation.
That aired on Fridays.
And from 2 to 4, correct.
Yeah, how long did you do that for?
2.5 years.
Yeah.
I played a lot of music.
Yeah. So, yeah, thanks to everyone who's contributed to this radio station. Dwayne, say something because I lost my clip here.
Thanks to our people who contribute online at valuefreeradio.org. Yes. Just go there, hit the donate button, and it's really easy. You can do like $10 or $20 or like $500 if you want.
Yes, so thanks.
I wouldn't say no.
So thanks to everyone for giving us, people like me and Dwayne, the opportunity to be on the air.
Yeah.
So today's show, okay, you gave the website, right? valleyfreeradio.org/donate, or you can call.
No, I told them hit the donate button.
Yeah, good.
I've done it many times.
Obviously, I'm not listening.
Obviously, you haven't donated.
I have.
Get to the computer and play your show and donate and... So, I'll read a slip for you.
All right. So, special show today is done by Alex Jarrett, my housemate. Alex Jarrett, housemate and coworker, and many other things.
Congressman. Almost. He could be.
He totally could be. Well, let's see what Alex has to say. Thanks for preparing this show, Alex.
In May 2016, I embarked on a 90-mile walking journey down the Hudson Valley, from Hudson to Beacon, New York, with the goal of listening to people about climate change. At the end of the trip, my friend Mike told me this dream.
In the dream, I'm with my wife and son, and I'm looking out the window. It's the very near future, and the planet has gone past a tipping point, and we've entered into complete climate catastrophe. And it's so bad that just looking out the window, you can see tornadoes forming and dissolving and just total chaos. And we flash forward a little bit in time. Us, along with some other survivors, are living in a communal house, and we occupy the top part of the house. And when we look at the top part of the house, there are these gigantic ants, very vicious looking creatures, and they're devouring everything. I resign myself to the fact that these ants are going to win because we have no resources to combat them. And I turn to Sarah, and I say, if I had known it would have gotten this bad this quickly, I would have become an eco-terrorist. I would have done whatever I could to halt climate change. And the only reason I wasn't an eco-terrorist is because I didn't, you know, I have a family. I don't want to take risks. And then as the dream continued, I became lucid in the dream and became aware that it was a dream. And I stopped and thought about what was going on. And it seemed like such a confusing dream. I didn't know what to make of everything that had happened. So it occurred to me I should ask someone in the dream. So I stopped and I turned to a dream character. And I said, what is the point of this crazy dream? I'm so confused. And the dream character looked at me and said, do not become an eco-terrorist.
So what should he do? This journey happened over 2 years ago. It's taken me a long time to go back and listen to all the recordings, face the feelings of listening to people talk about their hopelessness, and my doubts about my influence in the world. The trip began with an action in Albany, New York, protesting crude oil trains that run through poor and majority people of color neighborhoods. If a train derails, as many in other communities have, it could explode and kill hundreds of people. Protesters described them as bomb trains. We were also protesting the entire fossil fuel industry. Keep it in the ground. At the protest, my friend Eric interviewed me.
You've been involved for many years. You helped start the Pedal People in Florence, Massachusetts, near Northampton. Clearly, you care deeply about cutting down on fossil fuel use. For people that don't know, it's a bike service that picks up recycling and trash by bicycle. They have these special carts, trailers that can carry up to 200 or 300 pounds. Is that right?
Yeah.
So, can you just talk about what led you to care so much about eliminating fossil fuel use that you helped start the Pedal People and are here today?
Remember when I was 10 and I decided that I would never drive a car? I haven't kept with that promise, although I've never owned a car. And then I noticed that when I was 10, then that summer, I noticed, oh, wait, I'm driving my grandfather's riding lawnmower to mow his lawn, and I felt like I had already compromised my ethics. So there's just always this early had the sense that there was so much to do. There was so much wrong with the way that we were treating the earth and the environment, and and so then that has moved forward to where I've been trying to figure out how personally to live in certain ways, but then also trying to figure out how to create businesses and systems that would help people, would change the way things are done. So Pedal People has been an example of that. So I think that personal action and creating new, business models is very important, primarily because it inspires other people and inspires people and also gives people, even if they make no change, gives people a different sense of what's possible and what maybe should happen, which also moves toward their being creating like this political will, I guess, of supporting candidates that are willing to vote to end climate change. So I'm just trying to see, that everyone has a piece to bring, but that doing action like this has been relatively new for me. I tend to feel very awkward and very just a lot of hopeless feelings come up around when I'm trying to do work like this. And but I'm trying to decide to act and face those feelings and move through them, and one of my tasks that I'm trying to work on is trying to help other people come to terms with their feelings about it, and so that people are able to take action. But those are some thoughts.
Can you just describe like the awkwardness aspect of it?
Yeah, I mean, I think I have this sort of pervasive feeling of not really belonging, and
that's so surprising to me, because it seems like with your work you would naturally be an integral part of something like this.
Yeah, it doesn't really make a lot of sense. I think there's a lot of feelings that we have that are not about what's going on now, it's like how we grew up, different things that happened to us. coming out of this personal experience of difficulty and taking action around climate change, I came up with a theory for this walk, that if you ask someone to take action, you or someone else needs to listen to the feelings and experiences that are holding them back. Before we get to that, let's hear from some people who are not holding back and can see how racism and climate change are linked.
My name is Willie White. I'm the executive director of a grassroots organization here in the South Bend called the Village, because we took the name from the old African proverb that says, it takes a village to raise a child. We know that it takes a village to clean up our community, to hold people accountable in our community to do the right thing. We're not asking for anything special. We're asking for the thing that we rightfully deserve. We're asking for, in our poor community, the same rights that they have in the prevalent communities. So a village, really, in my heart, it means all of us coming together. When we come together, we're awesome. You know, when we're confronted with cynicism and doubt, and those who tell us that we can't, we will respond with that timeless creed that sums up the spirit of a people. Yes, we can. Yes, we can. Yes, we can. Yes, we can. Yes, we can.
Here's Carolyn McLaughlin, the Common Council President and the representative for this neighborhood in Albany, New York.
A dollar value cannot be placed on anybody's life. And that's what these trains are all about. It's about the mighty dollar. That's all it's about. But we're here because we're standing to stand for the people that not only live in Ezra Prentice, but people who live all along these tracks.
Amen.
If you think about the history of this housing development, it was about, all right, let's move these poor people as far away from the inner city, but still in the city. That's how they got here. That's how they got here. And the tracks were here then. The tracks were here then. Shame on the decision makers.
Shame.
So we have an opportunity now to correct a wrong that was made to this community.
Fired up! Ready to go! Fired up!
Ready to go!
Fired up!
Ready to go!
Fired up!
Ready to go!
All right, let's give the Honorable Carolyn McLaughlin another hand. Thank you so much. Thank you. A few words that Dr. King said, and he was talking about protest and how we had the right to protest. He said, if we protest courageously and yet with dignity and the love of God in our hearts, when the history books are written in the future, somebody will have to say, there lived a race of people, of black people, of white people, of people who had the moral courage to stand up for their rights, and thereby they injected a new meaning into the veins of history and civilization. So I say to you today, my brothers and sisters, injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. We gotta keep pushing on, y'all. We gotta keep pushing on. Ariel Perez of Black Lives Matter. Come on up, darling. Come on up. Come on.
Hi, everybody. Great to see everybody here. Woo. So my name is Anita Adela. I am from Black Lives Matter upstate New York. We're an official chapter here. Black Lives Matter stands against all forms of racism, especially environmental racism, which has stolen our health and many times our lives.
Yeah, that's right.
We relate the systemic injustice to the longtime epidemic of police brutality, police violence against black and brown bodies. Our bodies are not disposable, and neither are our futures.
That's right.
Racist power dynamics have always landed fossil fuel infrastructure in our communities. But now, because we're in the age of extreme energy and fracking, fossil fuel development has crept into more affluent white areas. And we believe this is why politicians and regulators have shown some mercy and begun to deny permits.
That's right.
Capitalism has forced us into competition for jobs in the current market, which has ignored and often forgotten our communities, even when it comes to union jobs.
That's right.
We need green jobs that work for everyone.
That's right.
Everybody.
Especially the communities most impacted by the system of environmental racism. When we talk about green jobs for the future, they need to be good jobs that prioritize communities on the front lines. We cannot afford to wait. White supremacy and climate change operate hand in hand. We envision a future in which Black and brown people have complete self-determination and control over the energy our communities produce and use. We need to focus on building towards a just transition where frontline communities, which are majority Indigenous, people of color, poor, and global South, have a say in creating a sustainable future.
Walking slowly towards the earth, gazing upon the sun, blistered, sunburned, blessed. This is a quest we must take on for our sacred sites and those we love. For our children we will not rest. Each step is a silent prayer to end the drilling of the wells. That poison water we so depend. That poisoned the air we breathe. That's what is our legacy, to bring destruction to an end. And we walk, walking strong, our hearts pounding with the drum. And we run, run with courage, knowing truth is in our bones. And we stand.
I'm going to interrupt that clip for a minute. So you've been listening to a show that Alex Jarrett did. Those clips were from thank you, Dwayne. Those clips were from a protest in Albany a few years ago to stop the gas train from coming through, something like that.
Yeah, you can't hear us, but we're having like a party in here when you're listening to Alex, but he's having a good time too.
Yeah. So Alex made this show, and it's on the podcast, and it's being aired for the first time now. I think we'll get back to it. There's more coming up. You're listening to you're listening to Dwayne.
Also, it's Pledge Week. Pledge. You're listening fund to drive. Puts a fund in fund, and don't be shy. 586-1033 is the number here in the studio, or you can go online at valleyfreeradio.org and hit that donate button. So thanks all those people who are donating online, and don't be shy. I mean, it's only a phone. I can't really, like, bite you.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Phones can do all kinds of crazy things these days.
Oh, hey, all right.
Can you take that call, Dwayne? Thanks for that caller. Yeah, you're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio, and
Valley Free Radio.
Let me play this song. Thanks to Johanna for her contribution a little bit ago.
Global warming, the cry is out. Without a doubt, the glaciers are melting in the north and south. Our lives are about to change. There is only one way to survive this. You got to purify your body, get rid of toxins. Pray unto the Father who lives within. The ego you have to tame. Survival is definitely for the fittest. It's not for who get the money or the fame the quickest. Just according to your actions and the way you live it. That is how the Most High I go give it. The sea level is rising, watch the table a turn. Plus the ring of fire around the coastal regions will burn. Check the kind of food you eat and type of drinks you consume. Listen up to the lyrics in the tune. Microorganisms are getting replaced. From the mountain to the sea, it is a different age. It's a time of revelation prophesied by the sage. The surge is the reason why you were made. The heat beneath the ocean, it a bring hurricane. Attitude inside of people out of context and lame. It's the signs of the times, so what surprising news. Things are occurring in sets of twos. Global warming, the cry is out.
without a doubt. The glaciers are melting in the north and south. Our lives are about to change. There is only one way to survive this. You got to purify your body, get rid of toxins. Pray unto Selassie, I will live within. The ego you have to tame. The hotter the earth, the more bacteria spread. Many more will have to suffer, plenty more are good dead. In the present and the future, no dramatic events. Purification time is so intense. Trucks will not be able to get supplies to you. It's so obvious, my people, you must grow your own food. Don't depend upon the system, you'll end up getting screwed. This a one, yeah, for sure it is for true. People must experience a radical shift, so they know living in love, it is the heavenly gift. In comedic history, have them things written in it. Out of dirt consciousness, yeah, dig it. Yo, amazing to the people is the works of the king. Once you disobey in principle, your neck are gonna ring. Love your neighbor as yourself and love the natural living. So it was in the beginning. Global warming, the cry is out. The earth is getting hotter, without a doubt. The glaciers are melting in the north and south. Our lives are about to change. There is only one way to survive this. You got to purify your body, get rid of toxins. Pray unto the Father who lives within. The ego you have to tame. Time we want them to stop the pollution. Now them a scramble for solution. Our climate has been through too much alteration. With government misinformation, the greenhouse gases like HFC and the greenhouse gases like PFC are so highly generated in variety, brought about by this industrial society. So tap into the liquid diet, just try it. Experiment the raw food life, it's so nice. Ingest organic, don't panic, judge I want it. The trees produce the energy, foods of all types. Tap into the fine art of fasting, everlasting. Experiment the life of clean air and sunshine. Ingest what's better, do better for your structure. The earth produce the fruits and the grains with enzymes. Global warming, the cry is out. The earth is getting hotter, without a doubt. The glaciers are melting in the north and south. Our lives are about to change. There is only one way to survive this. You got to purify your body, get rid of toxins. Pray unto Selassie, I will live within. The ego you have to tame.
And that was Nayara. You're listening out there on Valley Free Radio. I'm your host, Ruthie Woodring. Also, Dwayne Rainey is barking over there today.
Yeah, the frog in your throat. I thought I was scared out.
Oh, yeah. So the pledge drive, the phone number for the radio station, if you want to make a pledge.
585-1033, area code 413.
585, thank you.
585.
Not to be confused with 586.
586 or 584.
Or any other number.
387 or 24. It's 585.
Okay, so a couple announcements I'd like to make coming up tomorrow, Thursday, May 9th, at Abundance Farm here in Northampton. That's on Prospect Street in Northampton. Is volunteer hours. You can join Abundance Farm. Volunteer hours are actually, I think, every Monday from 10 to 1. Yeah, weekly from 10 to 1, and Thursdays from 3 to 6 in the afternoon. And tomorrow, there's going to be a special potluck from 5 to 6 at the end of the volunteer hours, where they're going to fire up the cob oven and cook something tasty.
Cobs? Corn cobs?
Probably bake something. And that address is 253 Prospect Street in Northampton.
Oh, is that little farm of the goats?
No, it's by the synagogue. Yeah, between the old water department and the synagogue. If you're going up the bike path, there's sometimes like some cardboard there because they're looking for more cardboard for sheet mulching. And so sometimes there's a little stack of cardboard that I think maybe some pedal person
everybody's
dropped off.
For cardboard. Just follow around the Pedal People trailer. We'll give you all you want.
Anyway, if you want more information on that, you can call 413-341-1737. Also,
Friday around like 11, it was a really good time for cardboard.
Oh, yeah, that's when Dwayne will be heading up the path with a big load of trash and cardboard.
No, I won't be going up the path.
Oh, you'll be coming from the YMCA.
Yes.
You can just go across the street and drop it then.
What?
If you have any extra cardboard. Maybe a seasonal thing. All right. Also coming up.
Well, I know what I'm doing.
Also coming up this weekend, Earth Dance in Plainfield is having a special work weekend. Earth Dance is an artist-run residential center for improvisational dance. But they're having a spring work weekend and community meeting. It's free starting Friday, May 10th, around 5, going till Sunday, May 12th, around 3. It's a time for people to come together side by side and give Earth Dance a spruce up. And the spring cleaning, you can come garden. Everyone's welcome. You can come experience the buildings and the grounds and good food. They have a sauna there. And there's dancing. It's all for free. You can check out the Earth Dance website for details, earthdance.net. And if you want to ride share, you can call Moss, Mary Moss, 340-1732.
I can't believe I've been hauling that cardboard up a hill like a sucker.
Well, look, you're getting stronger. That's why you're so beefy. Yes,
morally, that's it. So, hey, it's Pledge Drive Week. We're here at the studio. Come to you every week. Well, I used to. Ruthie is seasonal. But still, we rely on donations from our listeners. So you can donate online at valleyfreeradio.org and hit the donate button, as I've said earlier. Or you can call here in the studio at 585-1033. Or you can take and send a check to Valley Free Radio at 140 Pine Street in Florence, Massachusetts, 01062. Back to the show.
This is Alex Stewart continuing his show on... I'll let him talk.
The next day, I began my walk, taking the train south out of Albany to Hudson, New York. All right, so I'm actually feeling kind of depressed as I begin the walking part of my trip. It's, feeling really awkward at the protest. The wind is picking up. Probably gonna make this recording not very good. There were some great moments of fun as well. I mean, dancing, having a DJ, and dancing on the tracks, and just hanging out with people and just seeing the police interact and the democracy. At work, I have a clip of people, like, working together to try to figure out what to do next. That was cool, but I just mainly felt awkward and unwanted, which I tend to, my goal is to not pay attention to those feelings, most of the time, and just keep moving. My pack's a little heavy. So I'm carrying a pack raft. I'm really not sure what it's going to be like on the Hudson today. The wind is up. The Hudson is a huge river. Well, the currents should be going in the right direction by 2 o'clock. But, gosh. Everything feels a little daunting. Even the things I've already done. So that's how I'm feeling today.
I'm carrying an alpaca pack raft, a very well-made inflatable raft that was originally designed for trekking in Alaska. Together with the paddle and the life vest, it adds 7 pounds to my pack. To save many walking miles and to add adventure, I am planning on rafting across the Hudson tomorrow. Just after crossing under the Rip Van Winkle Bridge, I attempted to raft along the Hudson River, putting my boat out on mud flats. It was 2 paddles forward, 1 back as I struggled against the wind.
cold waves sloshed in. That night, I couldn't sleep.
It's the middle of the night, and I'm having trouble sleeping. I just keep thinking about the wind. I hear the wind blowing. Gusts come, not serious gusts, but pretty though, enough.
The next morning, walking across the Rip Van Winkle Bridge. My plan yesterday, change of plans. So the wind is fierce, the weather is unseasonably cold, and the barges are large. And so paddling across the Hudson River early in the morning in a stiff headwind was just not going to work. On this bridge, there's are a number of lifeline phone boxes and signs that say, "Life is worth living," which actually I get a little teared up about, even though, you know, I'm not considering killing myself or anything, but it's just a nice thing. They should probably have signs like that everywhere, not just on bridges where people might kill themselves. So I was feeling pretty depressed and sat by a stream, decided to play some flute. And I was walking up a hill, someone said hello, and she had noticed my flute, and so I decided I'd go over and talk to her. And amazingly, I happened to be near Susan Weed's property, a place where my friend had apprenticed years ago, and she was an apprentice, and I was so friendly, so nice to have that friendliness. She gave me two hugs and made me realize, like, how if you spend every moment, you know, taking every opportunity, it's very important. And every opportunity to show yourself, like, if I hadn't been playing my flute then, would she have said anything? Here's Ayana Maia from Baltimore, Maryland.
I think climate change is an indicator of how we're treating the earth. I believe that the earth, like us, goes through different cycles and has a tendency to detox. So I'm curious. And I'm not fearful. I have a concern because there's not a lot of talk about, you know, what it means and why it's happening. Seems to be a lot of ignoring of the climate change, and so that's where my concern is. And I also have trust, though, in Mother Nature. So whatever she needs to do to quote unquote balance herself out, I feel good about that. Mm-hmm. But I'm just curious, you know, what's really going on and why aren't we talking more about it on a larger scale?
Yeah. What gives you hope for the earth? For
seeing programs put into places like urban areas. I was telling some of my sisters in here that excites me when I'm driving. I'm from Baltimore County, but I used to Uber, and so I would drive around the city, and when I see the, like, greenhouses or the community gardens, that gets me really excited to know that that technology or science is being introduced into an area where people might not be as close to the earth as someone who farms or lives in the suburbs or rural areas. So when I see that, that gets me excited. And any programs dealing with children in the earth, just so that's what's like, okay, I see us moving in a good direction. That's what keeps me hopeful.
I just got a ride over the Ashokan Reservoir Causeway by a deputy fire marshal and in a pickup truck, and I wasn't planning on getting a ride. Gotta be flexible in these things. I just got to the edge of the reservoir, and there was a lot of construction. There was a big sign that said no pedestrians, which of course made me angry, but I managed to. The first person I asked was like, "Oh, I have too much stuff on my seats." Yeah, that's, why don't you just say, "I'm not comfortable with that." But second person was great. The night before, I stayed with my friend's parents. Here's Julia Indichova.
I think I fluctuate between total despair and hopelessness and ultimately feel that I don't have any choice because I can't live in despair and hopelessness. So I have to live in possibility and you know, the despair and hopelessness part is also leaves me in this alley of anger and self-righteousness. And, you know, I work with people who are looking to have children, have trouble conceiving. And, you know, the more I do this work, the more I feel I can't teach this work anymore unless I also engage people in conversation about things like, about topics like climate change and what it is that we are doing to these children that we, you know, so desperately try to bring into the world. You know, it's just the irony of it just is just is incredible to me. Mm-hmm. that we have this unbelievable multi-billion dollar industry that is dedicated to give people children, really, to manufacture children. And so that's, you know, that's where I ask myself, this is my, you know, it's in my work. How do I make a contribution? How do I open to possibility and, you know, contribute my snowflake of hope, mm-hmm. my snowflake of action?
Say more about what does bring you hope.
Well, you know, I teach something called something that I call a birthing practice that evolved out of my life, my personal experience, and my work with people, and really the idea, the metaphor of it, is a very hopeful metaphor because birth is something we have to open to and create space for. It's not something we control or figure out. And so what gives me hope is that I need to do this in my personal life, and I need to engage as many people as I can in co-creating a space for a conception-friendly space for a viable solution to climate change, even though it feels, you know, the strategic mind, my strategic mind, can't conceive, can fathom an answer. But if but whether this is naive or not, I feel that if enough of us contribute to creating a conception-friendly space, then we can conceive and go through the labor pains and mm-hmm. and the gestation of a viable way to move forward.
You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio.
Yeah.
I'm your host, Ruthie Woodring. Dwayne's in the studio here today, too. You've been listening to a podcast that Alex Jarrett did, or a show that Alex Jarrett did while he was walking through New York State a few years ago.
You can't just click the light on it in this studio and not expect me to talk. That means go.
No, I expect you to listen.
That was a light on. That's the dog says go.
Dwayne's very excited to be here in the studio for a fun drive week.
Oh, yes, very, very. You can call us here at the studio if you'd like to take a pledge and make a pledge of, I don't know, $1,000?
Yeah, just any amount is great. $5, $1,000. You can call us here at the studio at 585-10-
Nothing is off limits.
585-1033.
Zeros keep going.
Or you can pledge online at valleyfreeradio.org. You can hit the donate button. So, Dwayne and I...
Or you can dial 585-1033 and talk to me in the studio.
If you call, then Dwayne, you can talk to Dwayne and I won't have to talk to him.
She takes the fun out of fund drive.
So Valley Free Radio is a really great opportunity, resource for the community. There's all different kinds of shows on here, talk shows like this one, like Out There. There's music out shows. There's jazz, reggae, children's music, world music, political music, and blues.
Reggae down.
Yeah, reggae down. Yeah. And also, it's all volunteer run. So any money that you donate to the station.
They can pay us to do this.
If we got paid to do it, we'd be fired.
Dog would have been gone long ago.
So, yeah, any money that's donated goes to upgrade the equipment or
not. The personnel.
Just to keep us on the air. And, you know, there's no advertising here. And we can say whatever we want, mostly, except for the seven deadly words. Anyway, yeah, so thanks to everyone who's donated already. Thanks to people who have donated online. And thanks to all the people who have shows here on Valley Free Radio and make it the community that it is. I don't know how many programmers there are, but I don't know, 40, 50, 60, something like that. There was 40 people.
Minus one.
Last time I went to the programmers meeting.
So I made 41.
That, yeah.
All right. No, it's down to 40.
All right.
So, the universe is it one? Calling out.
So it's time. Alex's show is about, like, you know, climate change and all that. So I can't help but play some REM.
That's great. It starts with an earthquake, birds and snakes, an airplane. Lenny Bruce is not afraid. I have a hurricane. Listen to yourself. Turn world serves its own needs. Dummy serve your own needs. Feed it up a knock. Speak grunt. No strength. The ladder starts to clatter with.
Lester Banks, birthday party, cheesecake, jelly bean, boom, you symbiotic, patriotic, slam, button, dap, right?
Right.
It's the end of
back to the show that Alex Jarrett has done.
Mile 20 of 22. Sometimes I'm tempted to just grab a whole handful of poison ivy and just chew it up, swallow it just to see what would happen. Not really, but I guess when you're been walking all day, your mind goes to a lot of different things. At the end of the day, I resupplied at the High Falls Food Co-op, a tiny store that felt just the right size for me. My next visit was with Connor Stedman.
I'll start with my feelings about climate change. I think my feelings about climate change are bigger than I allow myself to feel most of the time. They're like too big for my daily life to actually permit and contain. I'm furious and enraged that like public and private sector leadership knew about this for 30, 40, 50 years and didn't take any effective action. I'm also really, really sad and angry about the kind of older legacy of colonialism that led to this economic system of extracting as much resource out of the earth as possible, as quickly as possible, that, you know, has harmed so many hundreds of millions and billions of people around the world, and now also has this like huge unintended but anticipated for a while consequence that is making all those people's lives even harder. So, you know, that all makes me pretty upset. And I'm just terribly sad about the about how challenging as things already are for people in the global south and people who live close to sea level and people who live in already very dry or very hot places, it's going to get even more challenging, like to the point where a lot of those places are no longer going to be livable. You know, and so I really think that like what we've seen in the last 5-10 years from Hurricane Katrina to the, you know, the Syrian refugee crisis and everything in between is really just the beginning. And I don't really think we're ready for it. Like, I don't think we're in shape, like, you know, personally, let alone globally, internationally, you know, to actually like deal with the ramifications of what's been set in motion. That all is just very deeply concerning to me. I have a lot of thoughts about climate change. I work on climate change professionally in the field of regenerative agriculture and trying to increase the amount of carbon that's being sequestered by farmland to slow down the process of climate change. I think that there are no substantial technical obstacles to stopping climate change. there are very substantial social and political and economic obstacles. But even the economic obstacles, I think, are primarily social and political. Mm-hmm. Because the amount of impact that climate change is already causing and going to cause on the global economy is just unimaginable. Like, business as usual is not an option. It hasn't been for a while, and it's just been going to decreasingly become one as time goes on. So it actually would be by far the economically prudent and conservative and wise and careful choice to completely decarbonize the world economy and resequester, you know, a quarter trillion tons of carbon back into the earth. Like, that would be the very careful, prudent, cautious path to take.
What keeps you going? What gives you hope?
I feel really lucky to have gotten to know the natural world really deeply in my life and gotten to understand ecosystems and also gotten to see like how kind of small local human cultures around the world have been able to live really intimately with their ecosystems. And so I feel hopeful just from knowing that that's possible, like that's possible for people to have a positive effect on their place over a really long stretch of time and on a short stretch of time too, you know? I mean, there's so many, it's so interesting how like even as mass extinctions are taking place, there's also animals coming back because people have done restoration and because people have done really thoughtful work with their land. So that's amazing, you know, and I was talking to a friend of mine recently about how in previous mass extinction events on the planet, you know, the biodiversity has survived in refugia. It's survived in like sheltered places that were buffered from the extremes going on around them. And then the diversity of the world reflowered out of those refugia. I grew up fishing with my family and gardening with my parents and like close to the land in some ways. And then really followed that in my life out of choice. In some level, I don't really know, but I think that when people don't have those relationships with nature, then the idea of extinction just seems abstract and like a species seems abstract, but actually like it's this just incredible assembly of miracles that all interrelate with each other in a way that's like bigger than our brains even have capacity to grasp. And, you know, and there's just some very old memory of how life works on this planet that every part of the web of life contains.
You've been listening to Connor Stedman and Alex Jarrett, a show that Alex Jarrett did on a walk that he took through New York State a few years ago, talking about climate change and things. This is Out There on Valley Free Radio. I'm normally your host, Ruthie Woodring, Dwayne the dog
is in the studio, and I'm ready to take your pledges. Still, you have 6 minutes on this show, but then after that, it's all Ruthie Woodring as she takes and cheers for Democracy Now, right?
Yep, Democracy Now is coming up at 5 o'clock. This is Fun Drive week here at Valley Free Radio.
You can call now if you want to talk to me, or you can wait 10 minutes and talk to her. I say wait 10 minutes.
So if you want to call into the studio and make a pledge, it's 585-1033. You can also pledge online at valleyfreeradio.org.
And we'd like to thank those donors who are pledging online.
Yes, thank you,
everyone. Thank you very much.
If you're unable to pledge, Valley Free Radio is, like, you're welcome to be part of our community of listeners. If at some point in the future you can make a contribution, that's great. So a little bit of money goes a long ways here. And Democracy Now! Is coming up at 5 o'clock. I feel like I want to make a couple other announcements. I should announce the Bike Lab this Saturday and every Saturday at 12 Northern Avenue.
And then now the weather's good, so I mean, sometimes we could stay there till like maybe 2:30 or three.
Don't tell that to people, or they won't come until like 1:45. And I'll be like, what? I gotta go.
Okay, so if you're not there and have a ticket by 11:30, you will not be seen that day.
So yeah, the Bike Lab is at 12 Northern Avenue, 11 to 2 every Saturday.
We only got two tickets.
So another project that I'm working on is to ship a container load of bikes to Trinidad. And so I'm collecting bikes, lots of bikes.
I'm getting them ready.
Yeah, I'm getting them. Anyway, I got a bunch of ideas about where to get bikes. I think I want to get a couple hundred of them, maybe from the local universities. With students, from students that leave their bikes or from campus police that collect their bikes. I'm looking for a storage of a bunch of bikes. So if you have like a storage container or a tractor trailer somewhere.
What about funds? I mean, because they're going to need like patch kits and tubes and things. What are we going to do about, I mean.
Well, the people can come by the Bike Lab and give me some money. I'm going to try and set something up on the Pedal People website or the Bike Lab part of the Pedal People website, something like that, that explains the project a little bit more. But I think we're going to call it, Mary Moss said we should call it, I said, she said, it's bike osmosis. I'm like, yeah, we got a lot of bikes here. And when I was there, I didn't see very many bikes. So it's
The Bike Lab?
No, in Trinidad.
Oh, they got bike osmosis?
Well, I want to do some redistribution of bikes from a place with many, many, many bikes to a place with not very many bikes. All right. Here is Jimmy Cliff.
Bye.
Thanks for listening.